with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Esports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into a bunch of stuff. Did you see yesterday? Jaron Kanick. Does that name ring a bell for you?
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah.
He pulled a Baker Mayfield
Oklahoma.
Athlete from Kansas. Looks awful Teddy Lehman-ish with size and speed. As everything was kind of breaking that he had enrolled at OU without any fanfare whatsoever. No hat game, no nothing. Started seeing some, like, highlights of him running the 100-meter dash. Jeez.
Did you see that highlight of him? He's a quarterback.
Where he's running over dudes? Oh, yeah. Like seven of them?
Man.
So, anyway, so I guess he is going to be a walk-on, which was pretty interesting. But more to the point, you know, with the way that it was doom and gloom right here, what, 3 weeks ago? Right at the Thanksgiving weekend? Can it be overstated how important Bob Stoops was in this process? We'll talk about that. High school hoops grades. I pushed that to today just because I hadn't done the thoughtful research.
I think I did. I'm very scared about this. I don't want to make anybody mad.
Well, I don't either. But,
no, but
at the same time, I have little...
I've kind of reached out to...
I've written out little blurbs on everybody. Why?
I got some in my head. I started to do that. And I thought, I don't have time to do this.
I wrote that down. Just as why. You know.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. And then I have an interesting question for you, Jared. Over under two teams in the state tournament from the schools that we cover.
Okay.
Boys and girls both combined, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You don't have to do,
yeah.
You know, but over under of two, which is a smaller number than normal. Normally that number would be three or four. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I think normally it'd be three
or
four.
Yeah, it's just been kind of one of those years. But
just
yeah.
Not, but you know what? As we give these grades, I do think there's a bunch of these teams that have the chance to really start getting better.
Agreed.
And make that two number look pretty silly by the time we get to March. Also, did you see that? I don't know about you, but like, you know, we play in a fantasy football league together. I always like to look at everybody else's results just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Did you see what happened last night in the title game?
I did not. I was
4 yards.
Who needed the four?
4 yards separated the winner and the second place.
Appreciating.
4 yards. We'll talk about that. Any new strategies you might be looking to employ next year? Any players that you kind of noticed throughout the year? There was one guy.
Two for me.
There was one guy that I had picked up or thought about or maybe put a waiver claim on and didn't get back 4 or 5 weeks ago. That I remembered from college and didn't even realize he was in the pros. Quite frankly, I think it was that I noticed was on the bench for the commish last night that could have made the difference as a receiver. He was one guy that I certainly had on my radar. You know, we can talk about some of those guys, any new strategies. And then also the question I have about our fantasy football league overall. Did Tyler Harrison really have the best team? And he just quit playing.
Oh, no.
He just quit playing about 2 weeks in.
Call him out, too.
Did he have the best team, though? Because when you would look at his results week to week, he'd have dudes on bye. He still has Henry Ruggs in his lineup. That's how much he quit playing. He still has Henry Ruggs. And he ended up with a pretty good record. And by the end of the year, his team was scoring as many or more points than everybody with, like, three dudes. It was amazing how good his team turned out to be. When, quite frankly, since he didn't make the draft, I don't know how hard anybody really tried. I did. I drafted his team. So I did. You know, this may be a way to pat myself on the back. about how good his fantasy team was. Yeah, 120. He scored 120 this week without two dudes. He just had two just nobodies.
Wow.
Anyhow, we'll talk about that. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. Paragon app has all things. It's got radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight. Check out the new deals of this week's Penny News, thepennynews.com. And, of course, the print edition will start filtering out tonight in some locales. By tomorrow morning, everybody will have fresh off the press copies of this week's Penny News. Big Oak TV, Paragon TV, taking a hiatus through the Christmas break outside of maybe that Birth of Frank Teague. And then also Skinny on Sports Podcast, KADSAM.com. Or you can find us on iTunes. iTunes, subscribe, and you can be alerted when a new podcast drops. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I'm good. I was fascinated. I really was fascinated watching last night's events take place in our fantasy league. So
I just watched the games, or game, I guess. I wasn't really paying attention to the fantasy stuff, basically because I was out of it. But
our man, so Jay Manning, Barbara Dyson Ford, to hear his name on a commercial.
That's right.
Yeah, Jay in finance. That's him. He was done. His players were done going into last night. And he had scored 139.6. Very good week, especially considering he had Mike Evans, who went out with an injury. Jamar Chase did nothing. But he had a really good week for 139.6. But going into last night, the commish, Drew Spitzer, needed 12.1 to tie, 12.2 to win. And he had
who had
OBJ and Matt Gay, who is the Rams kicker.
Okay.
And he got 10 points from the Rams kicker, Matt Gay.
What?
And Odell Beckham had a catch in 7 yards.
Oh, dear.
And the final score in our championship and our Super Bowl of fantasy in our league, 139.6 for Jay in finance, 139.2 for the commish. A 4-yard loss all those games. 16 weeks worth or 15 weeks worth of hard work and dedication to your fantasy squad, only to come up 5 yards short of the championship.
Oh. Oh, man. Odell screws someone else.
Yeah. Is he having fun yet? I know Drew's probably not.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So a 4-yard win, and Jay Manning is our champion. So congratulations to Jay and Finance out there at Barbara Dyson Ford on a fantasy championship in our league. It's been a different winner each time. Last year was Hunter. This year it's Jay. I personally feel like my team was as strong as anybody's through most of the season. You know, the scoring point totals bared that out with like 4 weeks to go in the regular season. Myself, Derek, and Drew were way ahead of everybody. And then I tried the Hail Mary when Derrick Henry got hurt. I tried a Hail Mary trade.
Yeah.
Got the trade pulled off. So Derrick Henry's hurt. He's obviously going to be gone for the fantasy season. And so I made a trade getting Christian McCaffrey for Clyde and Joe Burrow. Because here was my thinking. I'm not winning without Derrick Henry anyway, so I might as well throw one up.
Yeah.
And if it lands, great. If not, I wasn't going to win anyway.
Right.
And it looked like a brilliant strategy for about a week and a half. And then, of course, the reason I was able to procure Christian McCaffrey is because our man Possum had drafted him number one overall 2 straight years and just watched him sit on the bench on IR. And so that's why I was even able to make that trade, because Possum was tired of him not playing.
He was bitter.
Yes, he was, and for good reason. I'm bitter about it too right now because the one game where he was completely healthy and played coming off the IR, it was like watching a slot machine. If you just had the app pulled up and his points, it was like 8 yard run, catch for 10, 8 yard run, catch for 20. It was like, whoa, this is awesome. As much fun as it was having Derrick Henry, having Christian McCaffrey is even more fun because he catches like 8 passes a game.
Sure.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
And then it all went downhill when he was out for the season. But yeah, Jay didn't draft a fantasy. He didn't draft a quarterback until the very last round.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
You weren't there.
No,
you don't remember that.
You told me about it. You told me about it.
Yeah, at one point, I think somebody had 4 quarterbacks drafted before Jay had 1.
Wow. That's very telling. I know we're going to talk about strategy, but that's very
yeah,
telling.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins was his last pick.
Speaking of pick, Kirk Cousins in that throw to...
He was... Oh, my. Yeah, he was the very last pick. And it does. It makes you think about strategy. And another thing that it's making me think about a different strategy, even though I went into this year, because last year my team was horrible, and I didn't put enough value on the running backs. So this year I thought, you know what, I'm getting 2 running backs to start. I don't care. Mm. And I end up with Derrick Henry and Clyde. But I don't know if that's a great strategy because of how great a chance there is that they're going to get hurt. You know, you think the top 5 picks were all, if I remember right, maybe even out to 6, but I know the top 5, it was McCaffrey, who played like 2.5 games. Henry, who got hurt, he wasn't next. It was McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara. Kamara's been hurt for a segment of the season. Dalvin Cook was hurt for a segment of the season. Then there's Henry. And then Zeke, who might as well be hurt for a segment of the season. He doesn't look – you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
And with the, because we count catches, PPR, are we thinking about this – am I thinking about this all wrong and needing to go way more wide receiver thoughts as opposed to running backs?
It's funny you mentioned that.
But they don't score – the one thing about the running backs is you can kind of count on some touchdowns or a little bit – just
but
because
it's such
of the niche.
A crapshoot, though. Of who
it really is.
Get. I mean, and talk about strategy and you know, looking at next year with the way the game has evolved. And do running backs even matter? Early picks, picking them early, does it matter?
Here's the thing, because I went through this middle of the season when you better be paying attention, because we had like 14 people in our league, right?
Yeah.
So here's why running backs kind of do, because if you don't have – I mean, if you go trying to look one up and trying to fill in your roster –
yeah, you're not going to find
– the pickings are pretty slim.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to find a starter.
I played Rex Burkhead in a playoff game because he was by far the best option.
Right.
You know, once it was official, McCaffrey's hurt and all that. So – and then on buys or whatever. It makes the scouring of the waiver wire – so much more important, and to be in the right order at the right time. Because like looking at Dante Freeman, Tennessee, I tried to get when Henry was hurt. You know, I had Peterson, Adrian, scooped him up right quick, and then Dante Freeman was an afterthought. And then a week later, it's like, wait a minute, Adrian's not doing to do anything. What about? And there he is on Jay's roster.
Yeah,
because you could just see, and maybe that's the. He piecemealed it together fantastically. But I don't know how much you can count on. Maybe you can if you pay enough
attention.
I
don't know if we should be talking about strategy on air because
nobody's going to remember this years later, year.
We'll delete this after a few weeks. But I maybe look at not so much the running back, the starting running back, but, you know, who's the backup? Does that make sense? Because any more teams are going to a 2 running back system. And if your head guy goes down, at least you have one. You know what I mean? Is that more valuable than the starting job is what I'm asking.
It can be.
Because they can
knowing
stay,
who they are.
They can stay healthier. Listen, and then when they get the call, then they're still productive.
Knowing who they are is dang sure important.
Yeah.
So you could scoop them up.
Right.
It's an interesting question, though, because when you look at the better teams, You know, I mentioned Tyler's team. But he's got Jonathan Taylor and Melvin Gordon. Those are pretty good running backs.
Who would you rather have? Just a random question. Would you rather have Zeke or Pollard?
I had Pollard.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Hey, you know what?
Zeke's the flashy pick. Oh, he's available. I'm going to get him. He plays for Dallas Cowboys, running back number one. But Pollard, he's been such a compliment to that offense and very productive.
You get kickoff yardage in our league.
Yeah, that's true.
It shouldn't be Pollard if Zeke's good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it should be Zeke because he gets a lion's share of the carries.
Sure he does.
Pollard, but that's what's amazing about Pollard maybe, is in 6 to 10 touches a game, he affects the game as much as he does.
Absolutely.
You know, but can you count on a 50-yard touchdown run?
It's not like that everywhere. It's not like that at every franchise. I'm just using him as an example. But, you know, it's good to already have a backup plan because, like I said, do running backs matter? Because we've seen not just this year, last 4 or 5 years, there's always a key injury to a running back, to a team.
Yeah, and that's the problem because the ones that do help you tons in what we're talking about with the fantasy.
Yeah.
But they also have that huge risk of getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know, trust me, I wouldn't have traded Derrick Henry for about any other first-round pick because he was awesome when he was playing. And you could kind of count on – like you could count on about 20 points from him because he was going to get about 100 yards and he's liable to score.
Yeah.
And if he got a catch or two, well, that's the one thing about him. He doesn't get those catches. That's why McCaffrey is so – playing with fire not to draft him number one, even though he has those injury, the history of injuries is so obvious. But the dude is liable to have 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving. Guess what? Whoever has him is liable to win. You know what I mean? When you put up those kind of numbers, it's hard to turn that down with that first pick because if he does stay healthy, he's going to be the best guy. In fantasy football, he just is because of his skill set. But if he doesn't play more than 2.5 games, then you know what else could you have? But it's something to ponder, I think, for next year.
Yep.
I mentioned Tyler's team. Listen, he had Jonathan Taylor, he had Melvin Gordon, he had Justin Jefferson. Talk about putting up points.
Yeah,
and there was a bunch of weeks where he didn't even have. Like he has Jared Goff or Baker as the quarterback, he was getting nothing from them. If they, you know, sometimes they, you know, they would be on bye. Now one week he put up 90 with two guys. When Taylor had 5 touchdowns and Jefferson had like 3, he was winning games with 3 guys.
Maybe he's too busy selling houses.
His team was pretty good.
He was just too busy selling homes. Just got busy right in the middle of the season. Can't blame him. Did you inquire about, hey, can you want to make a trade?
No, he said a long time ago he when he quit playing, he's like, no, I'm not affecting the league.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Not going to unload.
I'm not going to make a trade that can help somebody. Because trust me.
Did you take him some of your wife's cookies?
No, I should have. Enough of the wife's cookies. I was just as an integral part of baking those cookies as she was.
Sorry. Did you crack the eggs or something? What'd you do? That's so special.
I actually made the jam ones all by myself.
Those were good. By the way, my wife's a little upset she didn't get any. As soon as you gave me 3 of them, I said, well, these aren't going to make it home. Yeah. And they did not. I told my wife, I said, hey, just so you know, we got Christmas cookies from the Cowks. She goes, where are they? So they're in my belly. They didn't make it. I had 3 of them and they're gone.
Same situation as me. IR, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. Yeah. It's a horrible deal.
Yeah. What about, I like this next question. What players did you notice? That?
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Man.
Who?
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Detroit. Receiver, he's from USC.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't watch a lot of Detroit this year.
Well, see that's the thing, man. You kind of got to watch it. He was one that I noticed pretty early on. I thought I made a brilliant draft pick of Michael Carter. He's somebody that people are going to know who he is now for the Jets. He came out. He's one of the two from North Carolina. those two rookie running backs, him and Javonte Williams at Denver. But he was a guy that could catch it. He was really good until he got nicked up, and then he's kind of fallen out of favor there for, I don't know if they're trying to, you know, if it's the Jets, maybe they're kind of tanking almost, not letting him get the workload that he had. But he was, what was the, oh gosh, when Wilson got hurt, what was the backup quarterback that won a game? Remember his name?
Yeah.
Whatever his name was, he loved throwing it to Michael Carter.
Yeah.
And so that probably inflated some of the numbers that he got there in the middle of the season with a couple of those games where it was like check down Charlie, which was fine with me because it was like a point.
Geno Smith.
It wasn't Geno Smith. It was a different guy.
Different guy?
Yeah. Different guy. Then I think he got hurt.
And then Geno Smith
came in. And then maybe Geno came in. Here's the roster. Mike White. It was Mike White.
Oh, okay.
And he loved throwing it to Michael Carter because then Flacco got hurt, and Zach Wilson, and Mike White played a couple of games, and he loved to dump it off. And I loved for him. I loved for him to dump it off. Those are a couple guys. There's tons, though. Like, I remember, and I drafted this guy this year, and then he got hurt too. But there was two receivers that it felt like when I played against them last year, I looked up and they'd have like 25. And it was Robert Woods, which his numbers weren't as good this year because Cooper Kupp has dominated.
He's on my list.
And then also Terry McLaurin. That guy is good. That guy puts up numbers. So does Deontay Johnson. My team was awesome until they got hurt. I'm telling you. I had a great team. And by the way, a guy from last night that he played really good quarterback last night, but a guy that is a way better fantasy player than he is, you know, real football player. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is a fantastic fantasy football player. He is a guy you want to have on your team.
Yeah, he's productive.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
My answers are obvious as far as guys I'm going to keep an eye on. I basically, for lack of a better term, fell in love this season with Justin Jefferson. I know he was on everybody's radar probably before, but the dude looks like he's going to be the next – I'm not saying as productive, but as far as his impact for Minnesota and the Vikings and that fan base, the next Randy Moss type of guy. I mean, very, you know, electric. He's very likable and very productive for your fantasy team. And Cooper Kupp, I mean, how can you not want to immediately get on him if he is still available in your draft first round next year? That guy had a remarkable year. But how many times have you seen a guy have a great year 1 year and then not able to follow it up the next? It's always the risk, but he something about him this year, he was always, shoot, he's still open after last night. My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I'm to the point, I'm not kidding you, where, like, if I could figure out in the first three rounds next year to get two of, say, throw in, what, eight receiver, whatever, Tyreek Hill and Jefferson and Chase and Kupp. You know, one of those Dallas receivers. A lot of people thought he was going to be CD this year. And he's been, maybe not as way to the top as people thought. But, you know, and there's a couple of others out there. If you can figure out a way to get two of them and then one of, say, the four or five tight ends.
Yeah.
Between Kittle and Mark Andrews and Kelsey. Kyle Pitts was the only thing he didn't do was score touchdowns. I had him all year. He would get like five catches and 70 yards. He didn't score very many touchdowns.
Right.
And maybe that comes, you know, with extra weapons out there. You know, you thought it was going to be Ridley and you know, whatever else with Atlanta, and then Ridley didn't play. So maybe the focus was more on him because it seemed like there was a bunch of games where he would get like three catches and 40 yards in the first quarter and then maybe have one more catch the rest of the game. So did the defense kind of adjust to him, and there wasn't anybody to help out as much as what there would have been with Ridley still playing. But those, to me, if you can figure that out, and then obviously a quarterback doesn't matter. I mean, Jay, literally the last pick of the draft was a quarterback for the guy that won.
Yeah.
And then find what you're talking about with those middle, you know, hopefully, I think Jonathan Taylor, he was either the second or third pick I made for Tyler, and Tyler was at the end of the draft board, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been that second one back-to-back, but it was either second or third round. And he's been has he scored more points than everybody? I mean, he has to be close. with the season that he's had. So, you know, get kind of catch lightning in a bottle, and next thing you know, your team is really hard to beat.
Yeah.
Really hard to beat. Congratulations to Jay in finance. Winner of the league.
Well, he's good with numbers, so.
Sorry to the commish. 4 yards. He lost by half a first down.
Shout out to Drew, though, for setting all this up.
Yeah, he does a great job.
It's really fun.
Does a great job. Hey, kiddos. Friday. Guess who's going to be here in the KECO studios? None other than Chris Kringle.
Flying straight in.
Straight in. Santa Claus, you could call in and tell him your last minute. Hey, if anybody's got a little last minute gift idea for me, I've got one.
What's that?
Hopefully it's not your boss, Frank Shirley. Oh. With a big red ribbon around his head. Kiddos don't have jobs, so they have a legitimate Christmas present request. So you can call Santa 11 o'clock, right after Tradio on Friday. I believe we're using 9697 as the number.
Yeah.
The Santa hotline. So do that. Hey, Bernard, it's coming back.
It's always cool.
Bernard.
So it's a full hour between 11 and noon.
11 to noon.
11 to noon.
Talk to Santa. He'll be here. We'll have things locked down tight, though. Don't try to come sneak pictures of him or anything, because we'll have it locked down tight.
Yeah, we're lucky to get him for this 1 hour.
That's right.
Because it's Christmas Eve, and he'll need to jump on his sleigh and
get on out of here.
Get on out of here.
You won't be able to see it either. It's kind of like invisible when he makes these special trips, so don't try.
That dude's full of magic, man. He's a magic man.
So that'll be 11 to noon on Friday, Christmas Eve. Also, don't look now, but the Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl Mania.
A little tighter?
It is.
How's it looking?
I wish I knew who that was. Uh-oh. Somebody's leading at 9-3. Maybe my buddy Rusty. He had a name like that for the college pick'em. 9-3. Then, oh, look at there. Me and Hunter, 8-4. Possum and J-Mac, right next at 7-5. Dylan Satilli. You're down there. He's 6-6. You're 5-7.
Yeah, I'm down there.
Embry's made 3 picks. He's got them all right, but unfortunately he missed the first 8. But that's a pretty good you keep that 100% and you'll win. Even without picking 8 games or 9 games. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get them all right, the amount you pick, you probably win.
Man, after starting,
you went 0-5.
And then I went 1, 2, 3,
5-2.
4, 5 in a row. So I evened it up, and then I
lost them both yesterday.
No, I got Wyoming.
Okay.
But I missed on
San Diego.
The Frisco Bowl.
Anyway, thank you to the Western Oklahoma Realty down there. Give them a call for any of your real estate needs. 225-6271. Appreciate everybody playing along with us again this year. All right, Jared, high school hoops. The first half of the season for the smaller schools is in the books. Elk City and Merritt, the football playing schools, haven't played as many games. So more of like a third of the way or a fourth of the way through their schedules. But that'll all pick up, obviously, once we hit January. And I thought, all right, let's grade the team so far. Create some controversy. See who all we can get mad at us.
Let's get all the dirty looks right before Christmas.
Yeah, let's do it.
I love it.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I went in alphabetical order except for the Elk City because I'd seen them more. And so I guess we'll start with the girls.
Okay.
And let's go alphabetical order, and then we can finish with the Elkettes, and then same way with the Elks. So in alphabetical order, that means that the first team will be 8-2, Arapahoe Butler. I gave them a B+. And the only reason I dropped them from an A was the loss in the semifinals of the 5 County to Canute. If they play in the finals, I'm going to give them an A- or an A. But still, 8-2, really good team so far this year for Coach Edlin. Katie's a big part of that, obviously. But they're, you know, right there, been ranked all season. They've dropped down, I think, 12th in this week's rankings from a high of 5 at one point. But a solid group. They played well. 8-2 is a really nice record so far. And like I said, if they play in the finals, even if they don't beat Merritt for the title, I think I keep them up in the A- A range. But just that one little hiccup there is why I put Arapahoe Butler to B+.
I'm a little bit more generous. I gave them an A- because yes, they weren't in the finals in the five county. They were upset by Canute, but I bumped them up to an A-minus because with quick turnaround, they avenged that loss, yep. And they looked dominant doing it against a solid Canute team. 8-2, like you said, 12th ranked in Class A, and after seeing them in person for that first time in that win, I was impressed with them, very impressed with what I saw, because I thought, man, that's a complete game, and that's a scary team for Coach Edlin and that squad. So that's why I bumped them up to an A-minus because of their body of work, of how they responded to that loss to Canute.
Speaking of Canute, they're next, 8-5. I gave them just right at B. They made the finals of the five county. They have to improve, and I think we saw that against Duke. We saw the rest, the others, have to be more consistent in being able to score the basketball night in, night out to help Kylie Smith. She's going to do what she does most games. I know she got in foul trouble against Burns Flat, so it wasn't the normal game for her. But I think as much as she's the focal point of things and you can kind of count on what she's going to be, I think their season hinges completely on how everybody else is able to push the Trojans up. So the Trojanettes, I think they have – they have a huge, to me, the difference between their floor and their ceiling is maybe bigger than anybody else on either of these lists. Because if they can get, you know, four in double figures like they did against Duke, they're going to be dangerous. Very, very dangerous. But if they kind of inconsistency from everybody outside of her, you know, then you could see that floor drop significantly. But I gave them a B right in the middle. They did make the five county finals, but they also were kind of up and down. Probably lost a couple games that they shouldn't have.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Solid B for me. You know, if we go best win of the year, one could argue it'd be Arapahoe in the five county. I would say Duke because everything that you said, because it wasn't just Kylie. It was players around her like Abby Janning, who came out on fire in that first quarter. Jade Gray kind of got out of a funk, and she started putting the ball through the hoop, and it continued into the Burns Flat game. And what was impressive was when Kylie Smith went out with a couple fouls early in the first quarter, which is ill-advised for Canute because there's not a lot of depth there. The other girls stepped up. That's key, and you're right. The ceiling could be really high or the floor could be really low depending on which route they want to take. And I think they kind of, after that Arapahoe-Butler loss, kind of gathered themselves and said, listen, this isn't how we're going to play basketball here. And credit to Coach Riddling for taking what she has and making them a very competitive or a very tough team to play with. So, yeah, solid B for me right now at 8-5. I think they're on the cusp of being a top 20 team, and they got a tournament that's coming up. I sat down in that ceiling, look at that ceiling bracket. I mean, it's ranked team, ranked team, ranked team. It's yeah. Amazing. So there's an opportunity there. Go there and compete and show that you're worthy in Class A. Solid B for me.
Cheyenne Raiden, on the girls' side, I had a B-. They did were the consolation champs over at the five county. But it's pretty simple when you look at their results and their record outside of the Vaisai win, which is a good one. The better teams they've lost to and the worst teams they've beat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of, you know, that's the way that's gone, which to me is kind of where you get in that average grade. They just need to find a way to beat the better teams. If they can, you know, get a win against a couple of these ranked teams that are going to be littered throughout their schedule, starting with Eric right out of the break, you know, then all of a sudden that can bump up. But for right now, for me, I've got a B-. Just they've done what you thought they might, and they haven't done anything special against the better teams on their schedule.
Well, by that definition, I got them at right there at a solid C, mm-hmm. Maybe a C+. They're 5-6. They're beating the teams they should, but they're losing to teams, I guess, that they should. You like to see it kind of, you know, get competitive in some games. You know, losing to Hammond 65-35 is one thing, but losing to, you know, other teams like, I don't know, I'm trying to look at their schedule right now. No offense to these teams that I mentioned, but, you know, losing to Sayre by a couple buckets, Sentinel by a couple of buckets, you think that's a game that they could win at home. So there's, you know, the 5-6 kind of stands out towards me or to me with the players that they've returned, like Abby Barton. I just maybe expected it a little more, but I say they're a solid C with room to improve.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And okay. Just play better against
I feel like
ones.
We're in a parent teacher conference. Yeah, no, about it's someone's kid. You know what, like, this is how your kid can get better.
This is kind of like when Jim does his Thunder exit interviews. That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Eric next, 7-4 for Coach Jans. I have them at a B. It really should be 8-3 after that egregiously brutal. If you listen, that was ridiculous.
Wow. I'm glad you brought that to my attention. I had no idea that.
My gosh, against Fargo Gage Fort Supply, it was quite possibly the worst call I've ever seen in my life. With 5 seconds to play, instead of two free throws to win the game, they get called for a charge that, the girl got shoved down. I mean, let's just be honest, what happened? It was ridiculous. So that makes their record 7-4. I've got them just right at a solid B for a lot of the same reasons, Cheyenne. Third place at the High Plains, they lost in the semifinals by a bucket to Tyrone. And just be better against the better teams. Get some wins against the better teams on their schedule. They've, a nice result in that tournament. Going 2-1, anytime you can do that, it's pretty good. But just figure out a way to beat some of the better teams on their schedule, and that's another team I think has some room to grow for sure.
They have the opportunity to prove that too. With teams like we mentioned Cheyenne and Sentinel, they got Duke on their schedule and Arnett to wrap up the year. There's opportunities there. They're beating teams that they should, but go beat some better teams, and there's definitely that opportunity. Them beating Boise City, who was ranked 18th at the time, they beat them 50-16.
Yeah,
I mean, is there that much difference between? I don't know what was Eric ranked at when they played them.
They've been like 14th,
yeah.
Right around there.
Is there
the whole
that
time.
Much of a difference? Yeah. They went out and said, nah. Maybe they are a little underranked. So I got them at a solid B, yep. Solid B with again room to improve.
Ham and Lady Warriors have an A.
A+.
They beat three ranked teams. Maybe that's the only thing, and we're fixing to see it. So, this could be an A+ walking out of next week or whatever, but. Only three ranked teams, and I think more than anything, the reason they don't get the plus is maybe the level isn't what it normally is around them. But
the level of competition,
yes,
that is.
Yeah. From out here, at least early. But you beat, 9-0, three of those teams were ranked, and were able to pull out a couple of close ones, one at Calumet, one down at Navajo right before the break. So they've done everything you'd ask for them. They weren't in the five county, obviously, because they're playing in the Bertha Teague. But we'll see just how good they are coming up here pretty quickly, because they come right out of the chute with that tournament. And then in January, they always have a good field at theirs, Lomega normally there. So, we'll figure out what Coach Beer exactly where they're at in the first couple of weeks of January.
I gave them an A+ because they're 9-0, and they when they were challenged, they won. Calumet, mentioned Calumet, Navajo, they got past that challenge. And then games are supposed to win. I mean, they're beating people pretty bad, right? By 30 more often than not. So they're doing everything that we expect them to do. Again, the perfect record for me. That's 100 on the test. So it's a 9-0 for me. Or excuse me, an A+ with a 9-0 record.
Leedy, I gave them a C and an incomplete all at the same time, because what they lost off the last year's team is always going to be really difficult to replace from the guard position at least. And then you couple that with Riley Gore not out there, it's just it doesn't even feel like it's fair to even grade Coach Broadbent's team because of that injury and how critical that was to the lack of success that they've had so far. They've been up and down. Some players that the names of playing in different spots than what they are accustomed to. Kenna Silas comes to mind right off the top there, having to kind of figure out her role differently on this team. So I gave them a C. They've been up and down, 4-8 so far. But I think when you look at not having Riley Gore out there, that is humongous. And one of those things that, listen, she might be the best player out here. And when you lose that off your team, it's so hard to overcome. And so it almost feels unfair to Leedy and to Coach Broadbent because of that injury. And then couple that with everything they lost off of last year's team.
Yeah, it's a C-minus range for me for everything you say. It's not fair,
yeah.
But the results are what they are.
That's right.
And it's something Coach Broadbent will work through and get his girls in the best position to get better at the end of the year to maybe make a push in the playoffs wherever they go, wherever they may be. But right, it's just it's right there at the middle of the road for me. C-.
Merritt 7-0 A. They won the five county. The one thing that was a little bit of a problem at the end of the year last year. Looking at scores without watching every single game, it's hard to tell how it goes. But the question for them is going to be, can they score enough to make it to the state tournament? Can they get enough consistent offense against the better teams in Class 2A to find a way to make it to the state tournament. I mean, they're a fantastic team. Them and Hammond, to me, are head and shoulders above everybody else on the girls' side out here this year, at least so far. But when you get, you know, that's just the question for me. It's not to be a good team, because they're a fantastic team. But looking down the road, can they consistently put the ball in the basket enough to end up in the state tournament?
And that's, you see them go through their schedule, regular season schedule, with ease, and then when they start hitting those playoffs, they start running into those tough 2A teams out, you know, east way of us. I'm trying to think of a team like Minko.
Yeah, they handled them pretty easily last year, both times.
It was at Minko, though.
Silo.
Silo
and then Lata. I can't wait to – they normally have a really good field in the Merritt Classic.
Yeah.
Arnett is normally here. Ceiling's normally here. Navajo. So, you know, that's going to be – that's a good one. I think they beat Ceiling in the finals of that last year in the Merritt Classic first week of January.
I think you're right. We were talking about that.
Yeah, so that's going to be – it's going to be a good measuring stick for them, I think, without Hammond being in the five county.
But I never get my grade because they're still perfect, undefeated. They're a top 10 team. That's 100 in my book. That's an A+.
Yeah.
I thought we were pretty good there. I don't think anyone got upset with us.
Okay. I don't know if I believe you.
I haven't checked the text line.
I don't know if I believe you, Jared.
I reached out to fellow Canute fans, and they kind of get – concurred with me on my grades, so at least I know I can go home tonight.
We forgot the Elkettes, so I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do just back-to-back Elk City, and then we'll go down the list, since I have them at the top of each list, because I was the first one I thought of. Elkettes 2-3, they won the first two, lost their last three. They just have they go through stretches of games where it's so hard to score the basketball. Think back to Clinton, second and third quarter, they scored five combined. The other night, against Kingfisher, it was just a whitewash. They couldn't figure out a way to kind of hang in with the bucket or get fouled or whatever. I have them at 2-3 with the C-, and it's going to be – I can't wait to see what Coach Ham does over the break to try to get a little confidence back offensively for their team. Outside of Kingfisher, defensively, they've been pretty good when they've not turned it over and given up baskets on the other end, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In the half court, they've been pretty good defensively for the most part, but that goes away because of the offensive mistakes that lead to easy buckets on the other side. So I have C- for the Elkettes, and improvement needs to come via offense.
Because it's such a small sample size, it was hard to give them a grade, but I'll give them a C+, because I think the room to improve is a theme for me when I'm looking at this. Like, well, there's a lot of time to improve this with everything that you mentioned. So what's tough is that they can improve and still lose a lot of games because of how tough Western Conference is.
No,
so
that's,
you can't
that's
judge
exactly
them.
Right.
It's hard to judge them, even at the end of the year, if we do this again, because of what their record is. God, look who they played. You know, how did they play in those games? You know, maybe they could pull off an upset here and there, and that can improve their grade. But right now, for just because it's a small sample size and with a lot of room to improve, I think it's a C+ for me, almost a B-.
Yeah, that's. That's the thing. I mean, the record, it's all about what it looks like, because when you look at the rankings, I think there was six of the top 10 last week from that Western Conference. Tuttle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Bethany fell to 12th. So half the top 12 are all in that conference. It's an incredibly tough schedule.
Yes,
there's no doubt
is.
About that. On the boys' side for the Elks, I gave them a C+, and the record's 1-4. It's not very good, but for the reason why the Elkettes got the C-, watching it and the struggle that it is, I gave the Elks the C+, because they have been right there in games. They it looks like they're playing better than the girls, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. When you look up, Clinton's ranked in the top 20. That was a 2-point game with 2 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go against the Red Tornadoes that night. Granted, it was Clinton's first game, but still, you're right there. Kingfisher's number 1 in 4A, and that was a 7-point game a minute into the fourth quarter. And then things kind of went south with free throws and that kind of thing. And then Jones is number 6 in 3A. And he had a fourth quarter lead in that one as well, 10-point halftime lead. The best quarter of the season was the second quarter against Jones, where he outscored him like 23-8. So there's been a lot of positive, but the Elks are going to have to figure out a way to finish games and put some of these L's into the win column in order to keep on improving. But just from the aesthetically and watching it, the eye test will tell you the Elks are better than they have been in the last mm-hmm. couple of years.
Yeah, that's why I have them at B-. Again, just five games in every game that they played in. I mean, virtually every game they played in, they're in it. That will I mean, you keep doing that, you keep applying that pressure, and you keep getting better game in, game out. Those close games, those close losses are going to turn into close wins, if not easy wins. So that's where I give them a B-, because the eye test for me, they're passing that eye test. They are better. So I'll put them at a B-, right on the fringe of a C+, but I think they're going to pull out some wins where people are going to go, oh, well, they are pretty good.
Let's go. Arapahoe Butler, we're going to have to go a little bit quicker on the boys. 9-2, I gave them an A-, and the only reason it wasn't a solid A is because both losses came to the same team and they didn't make the finals at the Five County. But an A- at 9-2 for Arapahoe Butler. They're right there the way they have been for the last half decade, a team that's going to be in the top 5 to 10 all year long in Class A and a serious threat to make a state tournament appearance again.
I'm right there with you. A-, the two losses are head-scratchers to the same team. Sometimes they just have your number. But, I would stick with A- for Arapahoe.
B+ for Canute on the boys' side, 9-4. Five county finals, that puts them from a B to a B+ in my mind with being able to make it there.
They didn't make the finals.
Oh, yeah, that was the girls that made the finals. Never mind, scratch that B.
They took third.
Yeah, the girls are the one. No, they took fifth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went the wrong
way.
Yeah,
they were fifth.
I'm sorry.
That's right. I was thinking about the girls.
They lost. Yeah.
I was thinking about the girls being in the finals. Anyway, but Canute wins over a Duke team that's pretty good. I think that they're another – both Canute squads seem to have pretty high ceilings if they can figure it out, you know, and put it all together in the second half of the season.
Well, you just said it, figured it out. We've seen different versions of a starting lineup for Coach Steffes. I think he's figured out what starting five will be, and he has the depth. Winners of their four of their last five with that impressive win over Duke. I mean, 68-49. Looked like Duke wasn't even in it. I got him at a solid B+.
That's what I had. Cheyenne Raiden at 5-6. I have them B-. They beat Sentinel, who's been the one that's figured out the Arapahoe Butler riddle. Made it to the consolation final, so they made a Saturday appearance at the Five County, but they've got to be more competitive against the good teams because it really hasn't been that case throughout most of the year. So I have them at a B- at 5-6.
That's what I have as C+. 5-6 with room to improve for everything that you said. They got to be competitive against good teams, and they haven't shown that yet.
Yeah, kind of the exact same thing for Eric. 6-5. They won the consolation bracket at the tournament they played at the High Plains. It's a clear delineation in the results between playing the good teams and playing the teams that you'd think they should beat. So, once again, almost exactly the same for me for Eric and Cheyenne on the boys' side. Got to be better against the better teams that you're going to play in the second half.
One game over 500, that puts me at a solid B.
Hammond, 5-7. I have them as a C+. The win over Canute looks like an outlier when you look at the results against all the other good teams they played. It's kind of one of those head-scratchers, especially if you're a Canute fan, going, how did we lose that game? Because they just haven't been in many.
They might have done Canute a favor by doing that, because since then, Canute has kind of turned it around.
So I got them as a C+. That win over Canute keeps them kind of out of that dead average spot at a C.
And we're on the same page there, too. C+ for things that everything you said. I think Tate Beer knows what he's doing. I think he has a good squad. And, again, that room to improve phrase comes back into this. There's a lot of time for them to get some solid wins and make a solid run in the playoffs.
This next one's probably a little bit harsher just because of what they've been and what they've done. Even though they have a winning record, Coach Carpenter's Leedy Bison at 6-5, I have them at a C. And I think I grade them harsher because of the expectations that you have for that program and the consistent state tournament success that they've had. And maybe because they weren't there on Saturday. I mean, that doesn't even make sense that Leedy didn't play a Saturday game at the Five County on the boys' side, but they didn't. And so that's where it probably drops them a little lower than some of the others. But this is the team. The Canute girls and I think the Leedy boys are the ones that could make you look silly in the second half when they get it all put together and start playing the basketball that they're used to. this could vault way, way up by the time the season's over.
I got him at a solid C plus, but I like what I see in the wins. When they win big.
Right.
69-10, 60-45, 46-27, 52-29, 67-27. The only close one was against Fargo Gage Fort Supply. They won by 5, 45-40. But the expectations, you're right. I mean, they're lofty at Leedy with almost any sport. But I think, you know, you got the coach. Carpenter knows what he's doing. They have an incredibly deep bench. They're very, very big in stature and size. When those pieces are all fall together, this is a team that'll be good.
And then 4-2 Merritt Oilers, I have as an A minus. They are the 5-county champs, but 1-2 against ranked opponents. So that takes it from a solid A to an A minus, even though they won the 5-county tournament. When you look, I think they were probably not fortunate. Not saying they weren't going to beat Canute, but it was a lot easier second round game getting Hammond than Canute. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then they were also able to they put it on Sentinel decently there in the finals too. So they won that tournament. Give them all kinds of props for that. But the better teams they've struggled a little bit with losses to Hinton and also Canute, coupled with the win over Sentinel.
Yeah, B plus. It was the best win was in the championship game, the 5-county in Sentinel's gym, beating them. Then they turn around and lose to a 12th ranked Hinton team. Think they could have had better success.
Well, and in their defense, Hinton's 9 now at 8-0 this week. But in their defense, if you go and watch that game, it didn't go their way the first 4 minutes. They got their best player, Hagen Justice, sitting on the bench. And it was hard to tell what happened. He played 4 minutes and then he didn't get to play again.
They got some tough competition on their schedule. That's why I'm kind of holding steady at B plus.
Yeah.
Because I want to see how you do against Fort Cobb, which is who they open up with next year. Arapahoe Butler. I'm looking ahead. Sentinel again. You got Mangum. At Mangum, always a
Mangum's
hornet's
18.
Nest. I mean, that's a tough area too.
Yeah, does Mangum? Are they going to that Mangum Hobart? Man, that Merritt Classic's going to be good.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now, it's going to be very, very good out there that first week out of the break. All right.
Real quick, how many are going to the state tournament?
Oh, the over-under? I said over-under of 2.
Yeah.
I think I set a perfect line because I think it'll be 2.
Can you say who?
I didn't ask that.
3 for me.
Really?
3, yeah.
Who you got?
Oh, you're not going to tell? I'm not going to tell.
Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!